Well, please turn over in your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and today we'll be looking just at one verse, verse 4. And you can find Philippians chapter 4 on page 1177 of your pew Bibles. So this morning we'll read the first 9 verses, but the sermon will be focusing specifically on verse 4. Hear now the reading of God's Word. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement, also the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would indeed open our minds, enlighten our eyes, humble our hearts. Father, teach us what you have for us today, and let us rejoice in you. In Jesus' name, amen. When you think about happiness, what do you think about? The writer of the Peanuts cartoon, Charles Schulz, once said, "Happiness is a warm puppy." Well, Philippians 4:4, when the Bible tells us, when God tells you, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice, it's not talking about something as fleeting as a warm puppy. The type of joy that the Lord is commanding us and inviting us to here is not a fleeting joy. It is not a put on a fake smile on your face and act like everything is okay type joy. But it is a soul-enriching, foundation-laying, heart-overwhelming, life-transforming, always-satisfying type joy. Because the joy is in the Lord. And your call this morning is to do just what these words tell you to do. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And that rejoicing starts in rejoicing in God's good creation. Rejoice in the Lord's creation. We rejoice in the Lord partly by seeing what He has done. When we look at everything around us, we're able to see that it declares His glory. That's what Romans chapter 1 teaches us. Every time the season changes, every time you go outside in the summer now and the sun warms your skin, the Lord is telling you that He is powerful and He is gracious. Every time that cool breeze comes and hits that sweat that the sun produces, the Lord tells you He is merciful to you. Every time that you go out and you drink water and it satisfies your mouth, it is the Lord who created that water to satisfy you. I remember being on a ship in the middle of the Indian Ocean, and I was reminded of one of the days of creation. And I was there at sunrise, and I remember seeing just two blues. One blue below and one blue above. And the blue was as far as you could see. There was no land for at least 100 miles. I remember thinking, how vast is my God that he created all of this. All of this glory, all of this beauty. And then just recently, I was learning to go hunting this past week, or this past winter. And when I was out hunting, I was up in a tree stand and it was really cold. There was snow on the ground. And just as the sunrise was coming up in the east, I realized there was something that was happening on the snow. It was melting just a thin layer of the snow, and there was just enough fog that the oranges and the reds and the magentas fading into the night sky were being reflected off of that snow. And the sunrise was a double sunrise off the snow that morning. And I remember sitting in that tree stand, cold as I could possibly be, and wonder that our God created all of this. It all declares his glory. Every time we see the creatures that God has made, the whales and the minnows, the sparrows and the eagles, the zebras, the giraffes, your dog whom you love, everything you see, everything declares his glory. He made all of it. But not only did he make everything out there outside of you, rejoice that the Lord made you. Rejoice that the Lord made you. You are knit together in your mother's womb. He knows you personally. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows every hair upon your head. He knows every footstep you will take. He knows every thought which passes through your mind. He knows every need that you have. Jesus tells us in the book of Matthew, you don't need to worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things and he feeds you. I want you to take a stop for just 1 second. Did you feel that? You breathed in. You sucked in the Lord's air. You breathed in his life-giving breath that he gave to you. You don't deserve that. You didn't earn that. You didn't work for that breath. God created your cardiovascular system. He started your lungs to pump, and you breathe in his goodness and his air every morning when you wake up. This is why the psalmist tells us in the morning and in the evening, I will praise you, my God. How often do you think, even when you have achy bones, when you get up early in the morning, and you know as you get older, it's harder and harder to get up in the morning. He knows those aches. He knows those pains. He knows the hardness that happens to our bodies. But one of the blessed things that I love when I go and I talk to older saints, and even saints on their deathbed, is even though their bodies fail them because of the sin's effect upon them, they rejoice that the Lord is good to them. That they know that the day will come when they will take their last breath and they will be made immediately perfect. And they will pass into glory. And the Lord will still know them. Are you rejoicing in the Lord because he made you and knows you? Rejoice in the Lord for everything he has created. Rejoice for the physical body that he has given you and the breath that you have. But for those of you who are in Jesus Christ, you have something more to rejoice in. Rejoice that he has remade you. Rejoice that he has not just given you a heart that pumps blood, but a heart that longs for Jesus Christ. This is what the psalmist cries out to God in Psalm 51 for. Lord, create in me a new heart. And this is what God promises to do in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Turn there with me. Keep your finger in Philippians chapter 4. But in Deuteronomy chapter 30, the Lord says this. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, so that you may live. For those of us who have been remade in Jesus Christ, we have been circumcised in our hearts that we may live, that we may love the Lord with all of our hearts and with all of our souls, and as Jesus says, with all of our mind and with all of our strength. Are you rejoicing that the Lord has remade you? We can turn over to Jeremiah chapter 24 and see similarly what we read there. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7. I will give them a heart to know me, for I am the Lord. And they will be my people, and I will be their God. For they will return to me with their whole heart. The Lord has recreated you. The Lord has given you a new heart. The Lord is your God. Rejoice in that. This is a miracle. This is what Jesus says. Unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You have been given a new heart if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice that He has recreated you and He is living in you and you are in Him. How often do you think about the new heart that He has given you? The new joys that He has given you? Think about how often we are satisfied about things in this world. How often we are happy about things in this world. We might call these our old joys. For some people, they take joy in collecting stamps. For some people, they really like collecting seashells. For some people, you like doing puzzles. For some people, you take joy in making new things. For some people, you like photography. For some people, you take joy in your kids and in your grandkids and in your family. For some of you, you take joy when you see things go the way you want them to go. Some people find their joy in money. Some people find their joy just in gratifying their own pleasures, their own desires. But what we find here in Philippians chapter 4 and Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, and in Jeremiah 24, that's not what the heartbeat of a Christian is. Our ultimate joy because of this new heart is never in anything of this world. News alert for you, you will never be satisfied in anything in this world. Even though it might be a good thing in and of itself, your grandchildren will never fully satisfy you. Your spouse will never fully satisfy you. Your family will never fully satisfy you. That best meal you've ever had will never fully satisfy your stomach. I promise you'll be hungry within 2 days. Your ultimate satisfaction, the ultimate joy that comes from the Christian heart, can only be satisfied in the Lord Himself. Rejoice. Rejoice if you know that this is true. How often have you found yourself in your life when you've had good things, but that joy you found fleeting? But when you've come into the presence of the living God, whether in word, prayer, or sacrament, and His Holy Spirit is upon you, and you know that He is with you, and you know that His love surrounds you, and that you are His child, how often do you say, Lord, just let me stay here? Lord, I want to just be here. Isn't that our longing of the Christian heart? Isn't that why we say that we would rather just go to heaven? This is what Paul says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Because Paul wants Jesus Christ, all of Him. He wants to be in the presence of his Lord forever. This is what we desire. as Christians. We rejoice in the idea that someday we will stand before the perfect throne of God. We will stand before the Lamb who has been slain with a myriad of angels. And there will not be any hint of sin. There will not be any stain. There will be no blemish. There will be no barrier. And we will see the Son as He truly is. And we will worship Him forever and ever and ever. Do you long to rejoice in the Lord forever, perfectly? That is what we are called to today in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. But this isn't rejoicing in good gifts about God, good things that God gives us, but it's rejoicing in God Himself. It is rejoicing in the Master and the Maker of the entire universe. It is rejoicing at the One who is holy, holy, holy. It is rejoicing at the feet of our Savior. It is rejoicing at the name of the Alpha and of the Omega. It is rejoicing when everything is going wrong with that repair on the car or underneath the sink, and knowing that someday you will never have to make those repairs again because the Lord is coming. It is rejoicing when you wake up in the morning and your body is failing because, as one elderly saint told me, I just can't wait for this to be done and for me to be with Jesus. It is rejoicing when your children disobey because the promise is for you and for your descendants that God will be their God. It is rejoicing in God's eternality that He has never had a beginning and He will never have an end and we will never find any reason to stop praising Him. It is rejoicing in God's righteousness that there is no wrongdoing in your God. There is no wrongdoing in the Lord. You can trust the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength because He is perfect and pure and holy and righteous, and that's never going to change. He is sovereign and He is loving, and He is loving towards you, and that love is eternal. He has chosen you before the foundations of the world if you are His sheep, and your name is written in His book of life. And it will never be blotted out. Do you rejoice in the Lord? How do you think of your salvation? When you think of being saved, do you just think of salvation as your get out of hell free card? Or is Philippians chapter 4 your heart, that you cannot wait to worship God forever? I hope that's not a disappointment to you, but that is what eternity is about. Eternity is not about getting out of hell, but getting to praise God forever, to be in His presence forever, to rejoice in Jesus Christ forever. Are you fully satisfied in Jesus Christ, or have you bought in to something lesser? Have you bought in to a lower amount of joy? The table before us this morning is that very sign that someday He is going to return again. But even now, He loves us. And we are going to worship with Him forever. When we come to His table, and we nourish our souls by the presence of His Holy Spirit as you sup at His table. Yes, you are called to examine yourself. You are called to ensure that you are repenting of your sin and desiring of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is a feast of joy, that the work has been done, that Jesus Christ reigns as King now. that written upon his thigh is the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you rejoice in that? Do you come to his table rejoicing that you know that when you confess your sins, they are truly washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ? If that is your hope this morning, you are invited to partake of this supper. If you are a member of good standing in a congregation, you have made this confession of faith. Come. Eat of this bread and drink of that cup and rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And when we do this in remembrance of Him, we do it with hearts filled of assurance of His grace, of His mercy, of His power, and of His goodness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you did not spare your own Son. Lord, we thank you that you love us with an everlasting love. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would apply these joys to our hearts, that we would not just know them in our minds, but that they would overflow in our hearts, that we would long to desire to taste of your goodness and of your love. Father, we pray that we would rejoice in you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.